Good morning. Are we alive and awake today?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to continue in our restart series. We started it last week, and basically what we're talking about here is kind of restarting in our relationship with God. There's lots of times in our life that we just kind of need to hit the reset button and kind of start afresh and anew. And New Year's always a good time to do that. And it's a time that we take lots of times to evaluate our life and evaluate what's going on. And, you know, if we don't like something or something's not going right, it's a good time to adjust. And that's kind of what we're talking about in the Restart series is hitting the in our relationship with God. Because I don't know about you, but, you know, I try to build in some habits in my spiritual life to help me keep growing. Because I want to be better than I was last year, don't you? I don't want my relationship with God to stay the same. I want to be growing and going forward. And within that, I've built in some habits in my life to do that. But even with those habits, sometimes they get stale. Sometimes they just kind of get, you know, they get into your routine and you just do them. And it kind of loses the meaning behind it. And so, you know, in the beginning of the year, that's what I've been trying to do in my life is hitting the restart button and you know, renewing some of those things, renewing those commitments to God. And last week, we talked about living the transformed life. We talked about when we rise, that we become brand new. And we don't change, but we're transformed. God transforms us. See, we try to change ourselves, and it usually doesn't work. That's why a lot of times New Year's resolutions don't work very well, because we're trying to change ourselves in our own strength and our own self, and it usually worked. It can work for a month, though. Usually, most New Year's resolutions end. We've got to look to trust in God and how He has transformed us into a brand new person. It's not me, my old self has changed, but it's my old self is dead and the new is here, and God has transformed me into a new person. And so, we need to learn to live that transformed life God's given us. And so, to the restart button on, to be able to continue growing in our relationship with God. And I'm excited about today because this is something I know I've struggled with a lot in my life, and I know a lot of other Christians struggle with. And so today as we talk about this, you know, living this transformed life out, is that the transformed life should give us confidence. It should give us confidence. I'm not talking about confidence in us, against, not a pride, nothing like that. But in Hebrews 10:35, it says, so don't throw away the confidence in the Lord. Remember the great reward that it brings you. And so there should be a confidence that comes in us, a confidence in God, as we live out this transformed life. And see, a lot of people struggle with this because they want to be confident. It becomes a pride issue. And I know a lot of Christians that live pride life because of what Christ has done in their life. And to me, that doesn't make sense. Philippians 3, towards the end of it, says, we rely on what's to do, and we put no confidence in human effort. And when we try to look at me, look how awesome of a Christian I am, it becomes a pride issue. And like, you know, look at all this I've trained, you know, I used to be this way, and now I'm this way. And we start acting like it's up, which wasn't all it was, God transforms. And we're trying to take the credit. And so we can get into pride or arrogance in our Christian life. But we need to be confident in our Christian life, because Christ is. And so what confidence, what areas of confidence do we have? The first thing I want to talk about today is we need to be confident in God's forgiveness. We need to be confident in God's forgiveness. See, this is what I'm struggling on Christmas, that, and I'm sure a lot of you deal with it too, is that, you know, you ask God to forgive you, but you didn't feel like necessarily He forgave you. Does anybody else do that? It's like, and you like keep asking forgiveness for the thing over and over until like this feeling comes over you like, I'm forgiven. And it's like, I didn't trust that God forgave me the first time. And it's one of these things that I struggled with in my life. I'm just like, because I wanted to be right with God. You know, I wanted to be righteous and I wanted to be holy in the sight of God. And so I was like triply making sure, you know, that I'm failing. Right? This fear-based thing in my life, you know, a lot of people get saved because they don't want to go to heaven, but they don't know what to see either. And see, that's not Christianity. And so we need to be confident in God's forgiveness. And I love 1 John 9, because it says, if we confess our sin to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And I love this scripture. I go to this a lot because, you know, I need a lot of forgiveness in my life. But let's look at this scripture real quick and see that we can have confidence in this scripture. And so it's interesting because we have a part in this and God has a part in this. It says, but if we confess our sin to Him, that's our part. That's the only thing that we've got to do. It is a confession. It's an acknowledging of I have sinned. And it's not just to like, yeah, I know I sinned and I confess this to you, but a repent thing. I'm sorry that I've sinned. You know, there's some grief in my life because of my sin against God, and I'm confessing this. This is not just saying I'm sorry. We're trying to teach our kids, you know, make wrong to us, you tell them they're sorry. And what kind of apology you usually give? Sorry. You're not sorry. You're sorry. You know, and how many times do we do that? I'm sorry, God, for that. But do we really mean it? Are we actually repentant in that moment, or are we just trying to God forgive us? And so we have to learn to repent, not just say I'm sorry, but to repent. The word repent means to stop what you're doing and do something else. It's doing 180 degrees and quit doing this and start doing something else. That's what repentance is. It's not saying I'm sorry and keep going that direction. And too many Christians live in that. And, you know, they say they're sorry, but they're unrepentant in their lifestyle. But it's our job to confess. Now look at God's response to our confession of sin. It says that He is faithful and just to forgive us. Now, lots of times we jump over that faithful and just thing and just like, He will forgive us of our sin. But let's look at this, because this kind of shows us part of the character of who God is. Because it says that God is faithful. God is faithful. Like, we know God's faithful. But do we really know what that means, that God is faithful? Faithful means it's to act according to His promises every time. To be faithful is to do something continuously, and it's to do it every time. And so it says that God is faithful to forgive us. That means according to His promise of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, and that He gave His life, and He took sin upon Him, and He died in hell for us. And through that act, He is faithful to forgive us. That means that He gives us every time according to His promise. Man, that's good news. See, this is one thing that I, early in my relationship with God, is that, you know, I kind of felt like I had to say enough, I had to apologize enough time, and then maybe God will forgive me. But that's not the way God does it. See, He forgave you 2,000 years ago. He prized 2,000 years ago for that forgiveness. He needs for us as a part to confess. That's what He needs from us. When we do that, it's automatic. Because He is faithful to His word. He does it every single time. And so He is faithful, and then says that He does it to forgive us. And this is kind of an interesting word, because this is where it boggles my mind. Because, you know, if you think about, I mean, big judges, you know, we think of the justice system, judges, juries, all of those things where there's a trial and you have to prove innocence. And these group of people decide if you're guilty or innocent. Well, see, in this, God is the judge. He's the justice. And He is the one who decides whether we're guilty or innocent. And so what we see in this word is that He is faithful and just to forgive us. Just means passing judgment as a judge, and it gives Him the right to sin. And see, when we confess sin, He pardons that sin. Every time. That's what it means, that He just, that He looked at it, He sees that we're guilty, but He said Jesus paid the price for us because His blood's on our life, and then so we're innocent. We're proved guilty because of the blood of Jesus every single time. So He is faithful and just to forgive us. What does it mean to forgive? I'm glad God didn't forgive like we do. I forgive you. I'm going to hold it over your head every day of your life. That's not forgiveness. But forgiveness, it's that whole idea to forgive and to forget. It's you're pardoned from this, and so it's no longer an issue in our lives. And see, that's what God does for us when we confess our sin. He removes the sin from us, and so it's no longer an issue. It's no longer a thing between us and Him, because He has forgiven us. But He goes even a step further from forgiving us, because when you're forgiven, you know, that's still there, right? Like, that thought is still always there. But He not only forgives us, but He cleanses us. So we can go back into the Old Testament on this, and all the ceremony, they had to approach God, brought their sacrifice for the forgiveness of their sin, the Old Testament, and there was lots of blood shed, and it was cleansed out of their life. And see, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Bible says it's white as snow. See, back in the Old Testament, the blood was applied, but it was for forgiveness, but it was for cleansing, because the blood of animals can't cleanse anything. But they used blood a lot in the Old Testament to for those rituals and things. And it points forward to a time when the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness, from all of our wickedness. So we could ask him to him, because he does, he gives us, cleanses us away. It cleans slate like it never happened. It's news. To be confident in God's forgiveness in our life. There's too many Christians that live under that guilt path that they don't have to live under. Because God's not holding it to, but they're holding it over themselves. Well, not good enough. I did this, that, and so I'm no worthy. See, God declares us unworthy. We're worthy of the blood of Jesus. See, the confidence that we have in Christ, in our relationship with him, is because of what Christ did for us, not because of anything to do with us. And see, to step in confidence in a relationship with God, knowing that when I confess my sin, he's forgiven, he's clean, it's a clean slate. I no longer have to be bound or attached to any of that stuff anymore. We don't have the baggage with it. Your past is gone. Your past, quit carrying it around. Quit making it an issue in your life, because in God there is no issue. That's the beauty of what the blood does for us. When God looks at me, he doesn't see all of the junk that I've done, but he sees Jesus. And he sees perfection because of the blood of Jesus in my life. We should live in a confidence in that. Not in arrogance, not in pride, but a confidence in him and what he's done for us. Listen to this in Psalm 103. We're going to start in verse 8. It says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He's slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sin. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the heights of the heaven above the earth. And he has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children and compassionate to those who fear him. Can we live in the confidence of God's forgiveness? Can we step past this whole sin issue and live confidence in him? See, I think that's a lot of our problem, is that we get so sin conscious, that we think about sin so much that we can't move forward in our relationship with him, that we can never push forward. We never feel like we're worthy enough to do what God's called us to do. See, let's forget about the sin, because God's already forgot about it, and let's live as if we're redeemed. Let's live as if we're forgiven. Let's live as if we have this new life that has limitless bound because of what Christ has done for us in our life. Amen? All right. So we need to be confident in his forgiveness. Second, we need to be confident in who God is and what he's done for us. Be confident in who God is and what he has done for us. See, one thing that we need to be doing is constantly learning and reminding ourselves of who God is. Because God is awesome. God is like far beyond anything that we can imagine, think. I mean, it just blows my mind. I'm doing a thing right now to where I've got a book called Praying Through the Names of God. And there's so many different names that, like in the Old Testament, of the names of what people called names that Testament. And through this book, it's taking a name a day. It's just prayers based on that. You know, the God who we have prayed, the God who is our provider. The constant reminder of who God is, because our confidence needs to be in him and not in ourselves, then we don't have much to go on. If we put our confidence in the Almighty God, in the all-sufficient one, the one who created everything, if we put our confidence in him and his power and his resources, then what is available to us is limitless. God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, he has everything at his disposal. So why are we trying to do life on our own? Let's live confidence in what he's in our life. See, we need God's word and find who God is. Get in God's word, find out his promises for you, what he's done for us. See, the question I'm going to ask, do we have confidence that Jesus' work on the cross was enough for us? See, here's what I see a lot of Christians do, and I've done this so much in my life, is that we still try to earn things from God. That we feel like we still need to like earn God's forgiveness, or we got to earn God's grace, or we got to earn his favor. You know, if I just do enough stuff, maybe God will answer my prayer. See, we don't have to earn any of that from God. It's a free gift. We should live our lives in a way to reflect the glory of God in our life. That should be seeking after him, that we should have that repentant heart and a heart that's trying to draw closer and closer to him every day. As we do that, there's nothing that we have to do to earn anything from him. Now, we should pray. We should seek him for the thing that we are in our life. But in order to get God, Because it's better on Christ's forgiveness. And the difference in Christianity is not a religion, but religion is man's effort into reaching God. Christianity is God reaching out to men. See, Christ did everything needed for us on the cross. He did it. We don't have to do. To learn to be. Because he has done, then we can be. Because he's done everything for us on the cross, then we can be forgiven. That we can be holy. That we can be righteous. That we can live out this life that he has before his word. It's a being because he says, no. Come on, let's be together. Let's be in this family together. What's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. That's what this relationship is supposed to be about. And as we have confidence in God's cross, we have confidence that what Christ did for us on the cross is enough. We still strive to earn. We're confident in God's forgiveness. We need to be confident in who God is. Confident in who God makes. We need confident of who we are in Christ. See, Christ just said, go ahead. Hey, because he wants to use us here on earth. See, I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. But what about Jesus? Well, yeah, he's the head of the church. And we're part of that body. And so it's our job to go after, just as Christ did. And so he, in that, he has equipped us to do that. And in his word, tells us who we are in him. It's not a who we are because of us, but who we are in Christ. As we are dwelling in Christ, we're dwelling in this relationship, as we're being, then God has empowered us. Peter told us that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. He's given it to us. It's on the inside of us. It's there already. And it's our job to learn what it is, to grow in those things. Life for the Spirit of us, seeking us, we're getting to God's word, as we're growing in relationship, we become Christ. We have confidence in who we are in Christ. I hear many Christians saying, I'm an old sinner saved by grace, and they say right there. I understand what they mean by that, down in that phrase, but what I'm saying is that leaves us in sin. And not in who God makes to be. See, I don't want to be left in sin. I don't want to have that mindset of I'm a sinful person. I need the mindset of I'm a child of God. I'm redeemed. That I set free. And this is what I need to live in because of Christ in my life. To live in this freedom. I don't need to be thinking about my sin. He doesn't think about it. And so I need to be thinking about who God made me to be. Because we live so far under what God has for us. Because we're held back by God. And so we need to live in who God made us to be. And confidence. And so I want to read you some scriptures about who you to be. Are you this? It says, I am the light of the world. Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. I am built on a city, built on a hill, hidden. I am the righteousness of God Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made new beings. In him we might become the righteousness of God. Holy and with fame before God. Ephesians 1, it says, blessed are our spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before creation world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Love it. He chose us. Did you know you're chosen? You are chosen. See, back in P, when you dodgeball, you never got chosen. Okay, one of us is going to get picked. God chose you, not because of something that you did, but he chose you before the world even began. I don't know, that's good news to me. For he chose us in him before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I am greatly loved by God. Ephesians, because we are holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. See, this is what I was talking about. We're not to earn anything from God, but we need to learn to be. He says, therefore, since you are God's chosen people, you're holy and dearly beloved. See, life doesn't need to be straining to those things. We don't have to earn God's love. We don't have to earn that holiness. He says, since you already have that, clothe your compassion, kindness, you know that you're alive with Christ. Again, because of Christ, God who has made us alive with Christ. That he uses. That when we give our lives to him, the old man dies. And that a new man is raised in Christ. And see, it's that raised from so that baptism is that the old man, new man is in Christ. And that he made us alive in Christ. Even when we were still dead in our trespasses, it's by grace that we are saved through faith. I'm Christ. Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are God's work, creating us to good works, which God prepared us for. So we are focused on what God has to do. Not because of who we are. because of God being in that sense, we've been for other people to experience God's it. Amen? Or maybe you're awake out there. I have the peace that has all in. He's just saying, but with prayer and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then, peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Do you know that you're lying? Too many Christians living this perverting Zion, and it's constantly just, what's going on? But God has provided us a peace that passes all understanding. That is when something bad's happening in your life, you don't know the peace. That you can still have that in your life because you prayed about. That you've given that thing. You don't allow God to handle it that He sees best. I trust God in the outcome. But it's not that I'm not with the outcome of this situation. I know God's who wants better me in my life. I can all things through Christ strength, 4:13. I am made strong by our 1 Corinthians 1:11. Be strengthened. All for you not so dangerous in patience. It's not needed in this life. It's all that you're going to happen. And He'll give you that you need. Don't give up. Don't give up that fight. Keep going and depend on strength. He guides you through the Holy Spirit. And He'll give you that endurance and that patience that you need. After me today, we know what devil's already feeding you. So He can chase you all He wants. But if He catches you, He can't do it to you. Because Christ defeated Him on the cross. Now, there's still bad things happen. I'm not saying some bad's ever going to happen. Life's going to be easy. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we can have confidence, knowing that no matter what happens in life, that God got this. And that's the confidence that we need to live in. And I believe that if we stand in the confidence of forgiveness and who God is and what He's done for us on the cross and then who He made us to be, I think your focus in life, I believe that God will get to reveal your purpose to you and that He'll begin to inside you again about those that He's placed in your life. So there's a book I read several years ago. It was called Holy Discontent. I believe the Bibles are not for sure on, but Holy Discontent. And he talks about that God placed something on the inside of you that just bugs you. It's an interesting world. That it bugs you, it bothers you. And a lot of times that's God placing it in your life because He wants you to do something about it. We have a homeless issue here in Batesville. That there's people that go to bed every night without a roof. Bothers me. There's people in the community that are destroying their life and they're destroying their family. That bothers me. There's people in this community that don't have food to eat. That bothers me. But see, if I'm so worried about I've sinned and I don't know if God's forgiven me and I don't know if God's going to be rendered in shape. But see, God wants us to step beyond sin and spend what He made to do. And I want you to pray today. What is it you still bugs me? What holy time do you want me to do something about? And I believe that He'll reveal that to you. And then as you're faithful and you take steps of faith, I can't do anything about this. So many of them don't have money. Well, let me tell you something. God has everything you do, that thing that He's called you to do. So take a step of faith and see God show up in life. And let Him use your goal to know because you knew you were in Christ. Because you had confidence in God. You have confidence in who He may be. God can use you. And you will be filled. So many people can fill your neck into what God called you. There's people, there's Christians that live their whole life just blah. Use them. Let me tell you something. There's no greater joy than when God uses your broken life for His glory. See, we don't deserve for God to do that for us, but He wants it in your life. Like I said, I'll be the church because Christ is our head. We are His hands and feet. So we need busy. Not do anything but because that's who God made us to be. Let's change this world. And we do that living in God. Let Father, we thank you. Prayer to come. Father, we thank you, God, that gave us in our sin. You didn't mess. But God did every your power. The knowledge to transform to a new person. God, so that the past no longer is an issue, that we're no longer held back by sin or by junk or by our habits or by the addiction. You gave us everything to step out of it and into who you made us to be. God, help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to live a confident Christian life in Christ. God, so that we can change this world around us. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy in our life, because that's the only way any of this will be accomplished. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand today. Let's worship. If you need prayer today, if you need to give your life to Christ today, if you want to begin this relationship with Him, hit that restart button. Come and pray. Maybe God's stirring a holy discontent in you. Maybe God's stirring some things on the inside of you and you just want someone to like pray with you. Come forward, pray. But I want you to worship today. I want you to connect with your Heavenly Father today.